Well, sir, it's late afternoon as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mrs. Victor Gook all by herself. Mrs. Gook is at the telephone chatting discursively with her close friend and confidant, Mrs. Frederick Stenbaugh.
Yes, every year she laughs and says how she's taken on a couple more pounds. Person my age, she says, you expect them to add a pound or two every birthday. Yes, that's what I told her. Goodness, Miss Supplethorpe, I says, what do you imagine you'll look like in 20 years at that rate?
I hope so.
Why, I know. Say, lady, my husband's just coming in the back door. I'll ask him about tonight, huh?
Is he living room, are they?
Hi.
I suppose you're going to tell me you're better looking than I am. I suppose you think you're a cuter person than I am.
I've got people on the telephone here. Ruthie, her and Ted wonder if we'd feel like 500 this evening.
They wondered that, did they? They strictly got their nerves.
I said I didn't know of anything in particular we had planned.
Ted and Ruthie Stembottom are scoundrels.
Yeah.
Ted and Ruthie Stembottom should be tossed into prison and be left to rot there. Ted and Ruthie Stembottom aren't fit for decent people to associate
with.
All
right, let's get this business settled. Ruthie standing with the receiver up your ear waiting. Shall I tell him to come ahead?
Yes.
What's the matter?
Why?
You look funny.
Well, that's a fine thing to say to one of the handsomest men in the city. That's a fine thing to say.
Yes, excited.
Yeah?
Your eyes are just more than flashing.
I expect that. I'll be cool as a cucumber. Talk to your dear old chum Ruthie there. Tell her to bring her charming husband and we'll indulge in a bang-up game of 500.
Lady to waity? Excuse the big, enormous delay, but Vic is full of silly talky-talk and I couldn't get any satisfaction out of him. Say, we'd love to play cards tonight. Yeah. Sure. Dandy, Ruthie. Fine. You bet. All righty, Ruthie. You betty, lady. Goodbye.
Well, we must arrange to lay in vast supplies of strawberry flavor ice cream. Dear old Ted dotes on strawberry flavor ice cream, and I want to see his eyes sparkle.
You are excited about something.
No, I'm anything but excited. Got a man come home cheerful and pleasant.
Didn't get an increase in your pay, did you?
No.
Maybe you've started taking lessons on the muted silver moonbeam chime.
Doctor's feature incorrigible. Whatever shall I do with such a wife? All right, if you don't want me to be cheerful, merry, and high-spirited, I'll relapse into moody grumpiness.
No, don't do that.
Okay. How's things been going?
What things?
Things around the house.
All right.
Any mail this afternoon?
Not a smidgen. He walked on past with his nose in the air.
He's a sulky, rebellious, and arrogant postman. If he's not careful, I will give him a sound session.
He's the nicest, gentlest, most accommodating mailman we've ever had.
I know it. And I love him.
Oh, my.
All right, kiddo.
All right, Watson.
You win.
I win?
You've shrewdly seen through me. I have got something up my sleeve.
A child can tell that.
Really?
Your eyes sparkle and your smile kind of foolish.
Got it. I made a conscious effort to conduct myself in a cool, restrained, self-possessed fashion.
What you got up your sleeve?
I'm going to Chicago tonight.
Oh?
With Mr. Rubish. We're taking the midnight train. Only going to stay till tomorrow afternoon. Coming back tomorrow evening. I didn't know till half an hour ago that Mr. Rubish planned to take me along. He stuck his head in my office and says, Book, I'm running up to the city on the flyer tonight.
Oh, Vic, listen to you.
Well, listen, Dibby.
Well, you're almost babbling.
Am I?
Well, yes.
Well, I'm going to quit this very second.
Every time you and the boss take a business trip, you get thrown into a state of excitement.
I know I do, kiddo. I know I do. And I agree with you. It's ridiculous, it's absurd, and it's childish. I was thinking that on my way home.
What worries me is I don't believe it's good for a person to let himself get so wrought up.
I agree, Sadie.
Gee, if somebody got suddenly taken real sick, or you received a telegram with bad news, or almost anything serious disturbed you, it'd be natural for you to...
You're right. Watch me now.
Huh?
Watch me now. I'm cool as a cucumber. My mind is relaxed, my muscles are at ease, and I'm in perfect control of body and brain.
Oh.
You don't believe that, do you?
The train don't leave until midnight. From now up until then's a good long time. I bet
I don't. I bet a dime I don't.
We'll see.
Okay, we'll see. No, Mr. Hooch, I figured this business out on my way home. I remembered the dozen or so other times that I scampered around like a chicken with his head off, simply because I was taking a little run up to Chicago with the boy. As I look back on it, I guess I must have seemed like a big nitwit. I had a laugh at myself. Of course, as soon as I realized there was no necessity for excitement, that excitement was silly, I calmed right down.
You didn't appear any too calm when you walked in here just now.
I was calm, though.
Why, Victor Gork, I called attention to your eyes flashing and your loud laughing.
That's right, you did. Well, let's put it like this. I was excited, but considerably less excited than on previous occasions. Very likely my flashing eyes and loud laughter were due to walking in here and looking forward to telling you the news of my trip. And then, of course, you can forgive a guy a little excitement. Not every day in the week I travel to Chicago. And naturally, I feel flattered when the boss elects to take me along with him. Isn't that right?
I guess so.
Oh, sure. And I'm certainly calm and collected now. I was a yap all those other times, I guess. Come home here screaming and jumping and shouting orders and biting my nails.
Oh, say, how about the 500 game? Is that still on?
Why not?
Well, if your train leaves at midnight, will you be able to arrange everything?
Do you and I and Ted and Ruthie ever play cards past 11 o'clock? Or 11:30 at the latest?
No.
Everything dovetails in perfect order. In a few minutes, I'll begin thinking about what to put in my briefcase for my junket to Chicago. By supper time, I'll have my paraphernalia, accoutrements, and gear just the way I want them for my junket to Chicago. I eat a leisurely meal with my loved ones. I wait the arrival of my dear old chums, Ted and Ruthie Stembottom, and I spend a pleasant evening at cards. At 11 o'clock, or 11:15, or 11:30, depending upon the exigencies of the card game, I yawn and observe I better be prepared to get ready to go.
I'll help you pack your bag.
What bag?
What bag?
Yes, what bag? Is this a game? Shall we continue to shout what bag at each other?
Oh, yes, what bag? The bag you're taking with you.
To Chicago?
No, to Alaska.
I'm not taking any bag. Only my briefcase.
Oh, where are you going to put your pajamas and toothbrush?
And my briefcase. Say, we've had this argument before. See, I'm only going to be in Chicago a few hours.
Well, I bet you can't stop orange and banana and wash rags.
And that's another thing. I'm not taking any orange to Chicago, and I'm not taking any bananas to Chicago. And I'm not taking any wash rag to Chicago.
You'll get hungry and dirty.
Well, fine. I'll get hungry. I'll get dirty. But I take no orange, I take no banana, and I take no wash rag.
Thought you weren't excited.
Well, don't clutter up my head with additional trivial trash.
Thought you weren't excited.
I'm not excited.
You're bursting with excitement. I don't know which is the most dangerous.
I guess I did speak a little sharper than I meant to.
I don't know which is the most dangerous.
How do you mean?
To let a person's excitement out or to keep it corked up.
I don't believe I exactly grasped the idea.
Inside, you're just quivering with excitement.
Oh, I am not.
You are, too. Excited as can be.
Honest, no. Do I look excited?
No, that's what I'm saying. You got it corked up.
Oh,
I just wonder which is the most dangerous. I just wonder which...
Oh, forget it, Dr. Sleet. Forget it. For some reason, I feel all relaxed and sleepy this afternoon. I'm as limp and relaxed and nervous as a dish rag. Feel like I could close my eyes and drift off to dreamland.
Oh, I'll get it.
I'll get it stayed.
Well, all right, go ahead.
Probably Miss Hammerstreet or somebody down at the office with information about the Chicago trip.
Maybe Mr. Ruber should call off the
show. No.
Oh, man, I don't care.
Hello? Who? Fat.
Oh, it's Fat Newton.
Fat? Is Fat here?
That same fella there.
What?
That same fella that calls 3 or 4 times a week.
He wants to know if it's Fat there.
He's got the wrong number.
He's got the wrong number?
Well, you've talked to him before. He wants some person called Fat.
Yes, he wants some person called Fat. Some person called Fat he wants.
Oh, Vic, you're all excited. You're trembling.
Well, you talk to Fat.
All right, I'll talk to him.
You talk to Fat.
While I'm talking to Fat, Vic, will you lie down on the Davenport?
Yes.
I'll talk to Fat, and you lie down on the Davenport, and When I'm through talking to Fat, I'll bring you a nice cool drink of water from the kitchen. Don't that sound good?